make me a prince. I could just make you a prince.
Bonnie needs 4 years.
Woody, who needs a kid's room when you can have all of this?
Wow. Woody, aren't we going to Bonnie?
Is it?
Oh, we're good? Okay.
All right.
Okay.
Okay.
Whew.
Whew.
It's been a while.
Yeah. It's been a year.
What do you mean?
It's been a year, hasn't it?
A year?
A year since our last episode.
I don't think so.
I thought we decided we were going to take a hiatus.
No, the band's not breaking up.
I went on vacation and everything.
Oh, where'd you go?
I'm just kidding.
Oh.
I gotcha.
Okay.
That was a prank. So, yeah.
So we're back. We're back in this room.
We're back. Just like the dinosaurs.
Yeah.
That one movie, We're Back, Dinosaur Story or whatever. The animated dinosaurs.
Don't remember that.
It's a deep cut.
Okay.
But, so we're here.
Well, I'm Ross, if you don't remember.
I thought you say I'm wrong.
No.
Well, as I call you Wrong Ross.
Wrong Ross? Who came up with that name?
I'm Jeremy Wright Wainwright.
Wow. Okay.
And we're here to bid farewell to one of our boys.
To a person who
is special in our lives.
Yeah.
Well, today is all about... There's a couple different farewells today.
Yeah?
Yeah. But there's the major one is... I'll let you finish what you were saying.
Okay, Kanye. Yes, we are here.
Well, the single ladies video is really good, okay?
We've gotten... Taylor Swift was a nobody at that time.
She's better now.
We...
1989's a pop masterpiece.
Some say Kanye West made her famous.
Some would say.
We've been getting really close to our boy. We've been seeing him for years. We've never actually been friends with him.
Oh, yeah.
Till recently.
Till we started the cast.
Now we're done.
Yeah, just like with Dwayne, we get close to these boys. You know,
we had to let him go.
Yeah, we got to put him down.
Doesn't mean he won't be back.
He's gonna be back.
Yeah,
he's got fucking Gemini Man.
Gemini Man. We got Spies in Disguise,
and then the big one, Bad Boys for Life.
Bad Boys for Life. But it's been a really good time.
It's been a good
with
run.
Will Smith.
I'd say as long as we've been doing this concept, which is the actor-specific concept, I'd say the Will Smith one's been the most fun.
Well, it's only been The Rock.
The Rock one
was fun. Yeah. No, you're... Yeah.
But we hit our rhythm.
Will Smith has the most range.
He does.
For sure.
Well, I would say, as much as I love Dwayne, Will Smith's a better actor.
Yes. Oh, 100%.
As much as I love 100%. Dwayne.
He's classically trained.
Yeah.
But before we get to that...
Well, speaking of Dwayne, the Jumanji 3 trailer dropped.
Oh, yesterday. Yeah.
So... that to look forward to this Christmas, which I completely forgot that it's coming out. The turnaround on that movie is insane.
Yeah,
but
so we'll get to that too.
We'll get to that too.
But it looks very similar to the first one. I mean, it's the same game, just the characters are switched. Like they don't get
the
same characters.
The
yeah, yeah.
In the desert.
There's some snow in there.
And Danny DeVito.
Danny DeVito. Before we get to that,
what we've been watching?
Yeah, let's talk about ourselves.
Let's talk about ourselves, which I love doing. I don't know about you. So since we last talked about Collateral Booty, I saw Men in Black International, which kind of fits in with what we've been talking about.
Tell me about this, because Men in Black was one of Will Smith's better movies.
It's one of the greatest films in the history of cinema.
So how does it compare to the Men in Black original?
Not favorably. Unfortunately,
Barry Sonnenfeld
was not
the director.
F. Gary Gray, who I like,
straight out of Compton, Fast 8,
which is arguably a lesser Fast movie.
Yeah,
he made Friday. I don't know if you've seen. He's made a lot of great movies I haven't seen, but well, I've heard there was some behind the scenes hubbub. Like he wanted to quit the movie because the producers took over. So I don't know how much we can blame on him. Mm. But it just feels very by the numbers and kind of boring. Like there's some fun stuff like Kumail Nanjiani plays a little alien.
Sure.
He's fun. And Tessa Thompson and Chris Hemsworth, they're fun. They're fun to
watch. So Kumail is now in the ranks of Cheech Marin.
Well, and he's going to be in a Marvel movie next year. So
no, I'm saying like Cheech Marin played the pug. sidekick.
Did he play the Pug?
Yeah.
Oh my God, how did I not know he played Frank the Pug?
Yeah, yeah.
There is a Pug in this movie. I don't know if it's meant
to be Frank. Frank?
Yeah, it's very brief. But like I said, the two leads are great. They're both gorgeous to look at. You got friggin' Thor and Valkyrie wearing suits and fighting aliens.
Oh, that is awesome to think of them like that. Yeah.
So it sounds like a home run, but
yeah.
I wouldn't be mad if they made a sequel and maybe got their shit together, but I don't think that's happening.
Yeah.
So, In Black International will not be an international hit.
Oh, that's terrible.
Yeah. I watched The Last of the Mohicans.
I say, because the Men in Black franchise does not deserve that.
What?
You know what I mean?
Like a bad movie?
Doesn't deserve a bad movie.
It does.
Because it's such a good concept.
It should. Well, you know what they were originally going to do before this? The 21 Jump Street Men in Black crossover.
Oh, I don't know how I feel about that.
I think I would have been hyped about that. Okay. Seeing Jonah Hill and Channing Tatum and the Men in Black. Like, they have to infiltrate the Men in Black.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know how I feel about that. Come on.
Come on. So I watched The Last of the Mohicans because I listened to Blank Check and they're doing Michael Mann, one of my favorite directors.
Mm-hmm. Friends of the show.
Friends of the show. They love us.
Isn't that right? Blankies.
Blankies. Yeah, we know you're there if you're listening. The Last of the Mohicans. It's a historical action film from the 90s starring Daniel Day-Lewis as a white man raised by Native Americans named Hawkeye. His real name is like Cameron Poe or some shit. It's fun. It's at one point picks up two muskets at the same time.
Holy fuck. That's awesome.
It's the way I described it. I think my Letterboxd review is great. It was like me during the first hour or so. Wow,
what a shameless plug.
I know. I write some good reviews on this. Me during the first hour or so. Wow, what a handsomely made historical epic. Daniel Day-Lewis picks up two muskets in the same time and the score goes wild. Me, cinema. There you go. And then I saw Aladdin, the topic of today's episode. And then I saw the new Child's Play remake.
Oh, yeah.
It's actually really fun.
I've been loving the marketing that they've been doing.
Because
Toy Story came out at the same day, I think.
That was genius.
So, yeah, it was very genius marketing. Doesn't mean I'm going to go see it.
Yo, you should definitely, when it pops on HBO, watch it. Mark Hamill's great as Chucky.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Because he voices Chucky. Yeah. It's great.
Aubrey Plaza
is the mom, which is insane because the kid looks like he's like 14. And
Plaza's
only like 30. At one point, there's a joke in the movie where like, she says, like, this is for my kid. And the guy looks at her and she's like, well, let's just say I had a productive sweet 16.
No.
That's what they say. And then I had to prepare because I knew I was going to be reuniting with some of my best friends this year.
Yeah.
So I wanted to watch the first two movies, but I rewatched those last year. So I just rewatched Toy Story 3, which is still great. I thought I loved it more than that. It's definitely the messiest one. It's great.
Thank you.
Here's the thing. It's a great movie. I weep like a baby at the end.
Yeah,
and Michael Keaton as Ken is fucking amazing.
Yeah.
But I'm like, it feels rushed.
Yes.
It feels rushed.
Thank you. Okay, so even more rushed than Toy Story 2, which they only had 9 months to make.
And that's the best one.
Yeah. So here's the thing. I have never seen Toy Story 3.
Oh, yeah. No, that was one of your cardinal sins.
Yes. So, well, let me just... Did you watch anything else? Because I feel like this is going to be...
You want to bank this? Because you want me just to run through everything else I watched real quick?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I saw Toy Story 4.
Okay.
Which I feel like the Toy Story 3 conversation will lead into that.
Yeah.
I saw Annabelle Comes Home.
Okay.
Really fun. You like the Conjuring movies, you should see it.
Yeah, this is an Annabelle's...
This is the third Annabelle movie, but here's the thing, it takes place before The Conjuring.
Okay.
All the Annabelle movies take place before
The Conjuring. That's what they all did.
Yeah.
So there's Annabelle.
Annabelle Creation.
Which
rules. That movie rules.
Directed by the same guy who did Shazam.
And Lights Out.
Which
went to an early screening of.
Yes.
And then this one is directed by the guy who's been writing all the Annabelle movies. Gary Dolan.
Oh, okay.
He gets to step up.
Okay.
But it's really fun. It's a spook fest.
Okay.
And then I rewatched Heat because Michael Mann... It's a perfect movie. It fucking rules.
Wow. Okay.
Al Pacino in this movie is batshit fucking insane.
So you would put Heat in Jurassic Park.
It's next a masterpiece.
Okay.
It's so good. At one point, some guy's like, Al Pacino is interviewing or like questioning some guy, and the guy's like, who are you talking about? And Al Pacino's like, who? What are you, a fucking owl? Like he's balls to the wall.
Is this on Netflix?
It might be streaming somewhere. I have it on Blu-ray. I'll let you borrow it. And then I rewatched Reign of Fire because it was on HBO. Movie about dragons they attack.
Oh, okay.
As Christian Bale and Matty McConaughey. It was all right. And here we are. Also, okay, so Toy Story.
Okay, so I watched after Collateral Beauty. I heard you mispronounced it at the beginning there. I watched Murder Mystery.
Oh, the Adam Sandler movie?
It is mediocre at best.
It's written by the guy who wrote Zodiac, which blows my mind.
I'll say, no way.
Because Zodiac's a masterpiece.
No way.
It's written by the same guy who wrote Zodiac, which is fucking insane.
Okay, well, I guess that does say something because it's a Murder on the Orient Express riff. Spoof.
Yeah.
And it's way better than the Orient Express movie.
See, we did.
So I'll say that. So if
you're not excited for Death on the Nile?
No. Kenneth Branagh did a terrible...
But it's going to have Gal Gadot and Armie Hammer.
I don't... Maybe it might be better, but... Right. So, the Orient Express movie, Blue.
Yeah.
The book is really good.
Yeah.
But if you want to see Murder on the Orient Express, just watch Murder Mystery. And
that is a hot take.
Yeah.
Most people would say watch the original 70s film or something. Be like, watch Murder
Mystery. Well, okay, that too.
Which I haven't seen. That could suck. Balls too.
After that, Toy Story 3. Okay, so let's get into this.
Yeah.
So Toy Story 3. Never seen it before.
Never seen it.
I watched Toy Story 3 and Toy Story 4 back to back.
So did I.
Here's what happened. So we watched Toy Story 3.
Yeah.
Now, mind you, I was in kind of a bad mood.
Yeah.
While I was watching this. We had a food fiasco. We were ordering food.
Oh, geez.
We thought we were ordering food by ourselves, but then I thought we were ordering food together. So when the food came, I was like, why isn't there enough food? And then, you know, geez. So I was hungry.
You were hungry.
I was watching this movie.
You were hangry, as the kids say.
Yeah. So Toy Story 3, we watch it. We got 10 minutes to get to the theater to see Toy Story 4. Back to back.
Oh shit, that is back to back.
Yeah. Not to mention we're watching it on DVD.
Oh god. So your eyes are bleeding.
So my eyes are kind of bleeding. But I have another thing for that too. Once we get to Toy Story 4.
Okay.
So Toy Story 3, the beginning, loved it. Loving the beginning. I'm back in the world. We're in you know, Andy's room.
Yeah.
Getting picked up, you know.
I actually think the whole movie's entertaining. I wish it could breathe more.
So I really like the beginning. I really love the end, you know. Yeah. It's a perfect bookend for Andy.
It's beautiful.
The middle just kind of drags for me.
See, I like the movie, but it almost feel like when I realized they were reaching the conclusion, I was like, this is it? Like, I was like, I thought there'd be, like, it's like Woody leaves, Woody comes back, saves them.
Yeah.
That's it. Like, I thought there'd be more with Woody being away.
In the room? Yeah. I mean, there was, like, one scene of Bonnie
in him in Bonnie's room.
Yeah.
And, like, Lotso is a great villain. That's the thing.
Yeah.
But it's, like, they don't give it enough time to breathe.
But
we agree that the middle is the weakest part.
Yes, yeah.
And then I don't like the Buzz fucking Spanish thing.
So, that I didn't really mind. But something... So, with 1 and 2... 1 and 2 Buzz Lightyear is different than 3 and 4 Buzz Lightyear. There's something off about him in 3 and 4. Like, they dumbed him down in 3 and 4.
Well, no,
when 1 and 2, he was this really intelligent space cadet.
Well,
you know?
I don't know about intelligent. He's kind of a doofus in 1 and 2.
Yeah, but like...
Well, I think
it was comedic how...
I think there's always a learning curve to Buzz.
Yeah, but the fact that he... Well, I don't want to spoil anything for 4. Should we just say spoilers? Like,
oh, go ahead.
Say, do not listen anymore if you haven't seen Toy Story 4.
If you haven't seen Toy Story 4, do not listen until...
Past this point.
Yeah. Well, yeah. We'll get to the Aladdin talk eventually.
I'm going to give you, like, 5 seconds to...
Yeah.
We're just going to sit here in silence. Okay, they're gone.
Yeah.
Okay, so in Toy Story 4, there's a part where... Buzz, like, Woody... So, Woody has a conscience.
Oh, I love this bit.
No, this sucks. This is terrible writing from Pixar.
This is not. So, well, I don't know how you felt about Toy Story 4, but it's my second favorite Toy Story now.
I'd put it 3. I'd say
for me, there was 2, 4, 1, 3.
I'd say 2, 1, 4, 3.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You didn't like the... Well, it's like... Well, because he takes it literally, yes, but...
Yeah, he's like he doesn't... Like, he thinks Woody's listening to his dumb pole string. They've been together for years. They've been together for almost 20 years, Andy's been in his room, and they haven't figured out that they have buttons that buttons? Talk? Come on. Well, this
whole movie kind of gets into, like, their existence, you know? Toy Story 4, like, yeah. The purpose for existing, and, like... Because they probably, as toys, they probably haven't actually thought about why they exist.
Yeah, but as a rule, one toy has a conscience and the other one doesn't? That doesn't make any sense.
Well, Buzz probably does, but he doesn't realize...
Exactly! They made him an idiot!
He's not an idiot. He's just a little slow. He's like a meathead, you know?
Yeah.
He's a meathead space ranger.
Yes, but in the first one, it was, I'm a real space ranger. In the second one, it was, I'm a toy. I'm completely a toy... Let's save Woody. I don't know. His character like reached a peak in two, and then three.
Well, two's the best one. So,
well, yes, obviously. So anyway, back to Toy Story 3. I like the resetting thing. I think that was cool.
Oh, that is great. It's perfect how it's an end to with Buzz.
Yeah.
Getting reset and turned into like a prison guard.
Yeah.
I do like how it's structured like a prison escape movie.
That is cool.
And again, Michael Keaton as Ken is hilarious.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just like the scene where he just tries on all the outfits for Barbie. I don't know why. It just makes me laugh so fucking much when he's posing.
I like 3. The ending of 3
Jesus
is
fucking Christ.
The ending of 3 is kind of fucked.
Yeah, well, you think they're going to die?
Yeah,
and they just accept it.
They accept their death.
I saw this thing on YouTube. This guy, his family had never seen Toy Story 3, so he re-edited it so it fades to black as they're going into the furnace. And it just says, like, directed by Lee Unkrich.
Oh, my God.
And it happened, and they were like, is that it? And it's just playing, like, a sad version of You've Got a Friend in Me. It's like,
wow.
Imagine if it had ended there.
I don't know.
But I think the great thing about that is, like, the first time I saw it, I was with them, like, holy shit, they're gonna die.
Right, yeah, so, I obviously...
And then, well, then even rewatching it, like, I know they're gonna be saved, but just, it's them accepting it. It's the
fact that they're like, just the facial expressions they gave them are...
I think the biggest one is when Jesse grabs Bullseye.
Buzz? Oh, Bullseye, yeah.
Like, oh my God, I'm getting emotional thinking about it. And then I cried when Andy says goodbye to him at the end, too. This is Woody, my best friend.
Because we've been with Andy.
They're my best friends. I'm the same age as Andy.
Yeah. Andy probably has a podcast of his own.
He probably does. I love playing with toys. I used to have a Sheriff Woody doll, but I was a dipshit and gave it away.
I had Woody and Buzz.
So did I.
Like regular size. And then I had... like tiny versions of all the other ones, like Ham and Rex.
No, I had Potato Head.
Oh yeah, I had a Potato Head as well.
But I don't know if I had.
But that
the
was
rest.
That was more like a just a generic
Potato Head. I think I had a little alien, but I definitely had a Buzz because
I remember being
mad that I couldn't lift his helmet. Like I remember as a kid, like why can't I lift Buzz's helmet? Like I wanted to touch Buzz's little head. I was like, it won't lift.
I think I had.
I remember Woody being like floppy, like it was. Like,
yeah, Woody's floppy. Buzz, I think the Buzz I had, like didn't have the wings.
Oh.
So I had like a miniature one that with the wings extended that I used.
I wish I would have kept those.
I know.
God,
yeah,
damn
they'd
it.
Probably be worth a lot now.
Jesus Christ.
But Toy Story 1, Toy Story 2, and A Bug's Life.
Yeah.
Were the three VHSs I had on rotation.
I watched
at all times.
Well, Toy Story 2 is the first time my brain like recognized that they were making a second movie to something.
Right.
Like,
Like
I remember because we lived above a video store, and I remember my mom and my dad being like, "Oh, you want to watch Toy Story 2 tonight?" And being like, "What? They made another one?"
Yeah. Right.
I used to watch Toy Story and Bug's Life all the time. All the time.
And then Finding Nemo.
I didn't watch that as much as a kid.
It was actually the first movie that I saw in theaters.
Oh, really?
So, Pixar...
They owned your ass.
I have, like, a deep appreciation.
Oh, yeah. First Pixar movie I saw in theaters was The Incredibles, I think.
Oh, wow.
Incredibles or Monsters, Inc.? One of the two. I forgot that came out in 2001.
Yeah, Monsters, Inc. also got the VHS of that.
Oh, that was a big one for me. I got a... It was one of those Christmases where...
Actually, I think that was when DVDs were starting to...
It might have been.
Oh, no. Now that I remember, I had both. We had the...
I know I had The Incredibles on DVD.
Because I remember the Monsters, Inc. VHS came... It was a blue tape.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And then we also got the DVD.
Monsters, Inc. is one of those things for, like, Christmas. For some reason, I wanted a skateboard that year. Mm-hmm. But I asked for the most... You know, like, some Christmases, you'll ask for the most specific thing imaginable. Yeah. Like, you'll be like, oh, I want a shirt with a picture of Charizard on it.
And yeah, because you saw it.
And you know your parents are going to be like... Well, but you might not even have seen it. Oh, you know your parents will just get you a shirt with, like, a Pokeball on it.
Yeah.
I was like, I want a skateboard with Randall from Monsters, Inc. on it. I got a skateboard
with Randall
from Monsters, Inc. on it.
Way to deliver.
I know. I was, like, the most pinpoint accurate. But so Pixar,
you still shred today?
Oh, all the time. Look at these torn up legs.
Yeah.
Flashing.
Yeah, it's like almost bone on those. Just almost to the bone. It's kind of disgusting, to be honest.
Over your floor.
Yep.
People know that we're connoisseurs of Pixar because we love Ratatouille.
Yeah. Oh, we love Ratatouille.
Greatest piece of American cinema, maybe. I was listening to a podcast where they were talking about their top five Pixars. Mm-hmm. And at one point, the guy was like, oh, Ratatouille's on my list. It's on yours, right? And the guy's like, you know, I don't really like Ratatouille.
Oh, get out of like, here.
I don't really like you.
Just the mise-en-scene of Ratatouille just comes together.
So fucking good.
And it's a concept that should not work.
It should not work. It's so stupid. But enough about Reddit. We've talked
about it. Yeah, you want to get back to... You want to talk some more toys?
Yeah. So Toy Story 4. I'm going to give you my emotional roller coaster with this movie's like...
Oh, wait. So what do you give 3?
Well, this existed. Well, I gave it 4 on Letterboxd.
Okay.
Which one
is... I think I did too.
1 is 4.5 and 2 is 5 for me.
Yeah.
But my roller coaster with Toy Story 4, first hear that it's happening. Mm-hmm. Stupid idea.
Really?
Because I'm number one, I'm very in favor.
I'm in from the get-go.
I trust Pixar, that's a thing.
Yeah.
But there's a few reasons. One, I'm very in favor of original Pixar. Like, unless it's like Incredibles 2, which we all fucking wanted. I mean, mm-hmm. with Brad Bird coming back, I'm like, I would much rather them do an original movie. 2, I was thinking at the time, 3 wrapped their story up perfectly. What are they going to do?
Mm-hmm.
And these toys are my best friends. I don't want to see a bad Toy Story
movie. Also... Yeah, this is the first Toy Story not directed by
John. No, it's the second one. He didn't direct 3.
No, I'm saying one of the original Pixar
people. Yeah, this founders. Guy Josh Cooley. He's like one of the up and coming. One of the guys that they like mold.
Yeah,
like you're gonna direct a movie. Someday.
He did a short.
He didn't do Good Dinosaur, did he?
No, that was Peter Son.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Who's like kind of a big inside Pixar person? Yeah. He did. I think it was called Ajax or something.
Oh, I've heard of that. Yeah. So then first teaser comes out with Forky. And I'm like...
Where they're spinning in the circle.
Forky's like, why am I alive? I'm like, all right, you've got my attention.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I'm excited, but you have my attention.
Mm-hmm.
And then the actually, not even... Then another trailer came out where it kind of gave away like they're on a road trip. And I was like, looks cool.
Right.
Then technically the third trailer came out, which I watched, like, I saw in theaters before another movie.
I think I liked the trailer. I don't think I was a fan of the music that they chose. The Happy Together?
Well, no, they used Live and Thing by Electric Light Orchestra in the second one.
Oh, yeah.
Which is great. Yeah. Which that song, you put Electric Light Orchestra on it. But then
I guess
I found out another crucial piece of information. Keanu Reeves as Duke.
Sure.
And I'm like, all right.
Because we're in the Keanu sans right now.
Well, I want to argue it's always been happening, but we're finally recognizing it.
No, he went away for a little bit.
He's been doing consistently interesting things. We'll have to do Keanu.
You
know, there's actually a lot of podcasts about Keanu, but that's not going to stop me.
Okay.
I want to talk about Point Break
and
all those movies.
Speed.
Oh, God, Speed. What's that Dennis Hopper line? What's he say? Like, calls him Hot Shot. He's like...
I haven't seen Speed in so long. I don't know. I
love Keanu Reeves. But so at this point, I'm like...
Can't go under 80 miles per hour.
And then that's fucking terrifying. And then then I hear good reviews for Toy Story 4. Mm-hmm. I'm like, I'm in. I'm excited. You were excited from the get-go.
Yeah.
Because you could be like, we're making a Cars 4, and you'd be like, fuck yeah.
Here's the thing. Cars 2 is not great, but it's not as bad as people think it is. Cars 3 is actually worse than Cars 2.
See, I've heard Cars 3 is better than Cars 2.
No, because Cars 2 is a spy movie with Michael Caine.
Yeah. Cars 3 is like
it's actually pretty clever.
Like an inspirational sports movie.
And it's lame.
You've heard the Griffin Newman thing where he's like,
yeah,
Cars 3 makes Cars 2 look... Or Cars... What is it? Cars 2 makes Cars 3 look like Cars 1.
Yes.
All right.
Which... which is not true at all. I'd rather watch a Cars spy movie than a Cars dumb...
inspirational sports film?
Yeah.
All right.
So
Toy Story 4. So you're excited.
Yeah. Now here's the thing. We saw Toy Story 3 on DVD.
Yeah.
My eyes were
bleeding. So you had to patch them up.
We go to Toy Story 4. I know this movie is so beautiful.
Yeah.
But I need to see it again because
your eyes were still adjusting from the DVD.
The movie was just out of focus.
Oh.
Just a little bit. Like, not enough to complain.
Oh, yeah.
But just enough to where I couldn't fully appreciate the details.
That's one of my biggest existential fears is when you're watching previews and you notice, like, it's a little too dark. And you're like, I want to go tell somebody, but I don't want to look like an asshole. But you don't want to wait too long because then the movie's going to start.
And that was the thing. The previews were fuzzy and we're like, okay, maybe it's one of those things where it's just the preview.
There's one time the previews were fuzzy and I went out and told them, they're like, oh, we have the preview satellited in. So there's bad weather right now, so the movie will be fine. Okay. So I always think of that too. Like, maybe the movie will be fine.
But it wasn't, and it was, and I want to see the first scene again. So bad.
So good.
The rain. I heard that was like 60% of the budget was that first rain.
With all the rain, I can imagine. Because it must be even harder than just, because doing like the water and like Nemo and like that one scene in The Incredibles was hard enough, but like water constantly falling and hitting surfaces.
Yeah.
That has to be insane.
And like the rushing.
And I forgot RC car existed. Was he in 2 or 3?
No, he wasn't.
No, yeah. Like, it was one of those things where I saw him.
Well, he 2. He's in 2.
What are you doing 2? Did he get
the... I think he was just there.
Oh.
No, because remember, so Woody goes out on the dog to the garage sale to get Wheezy.
Wheezy, yeah.
And then...
Does RC car take him back in?
Yeah, no, actually, I think he... There's something with RC car too.
We're too long about RC car.
Yeah.
I mean, they're all good friends with
mine. I mean, he's technically...
Oh, I had an RC car toy. I remember. I had an
RC car toy. Oh, yeah, me too. Yeah, I did. He's technically an accomplice to murder, so...
What?
Well, it was him and Woody tried to murder
Buzz. Oh, yeah, I remember.
And then he was like, I don't want to go to jail, so he snitched on him.
Oh, yeah.
But, no, he was definitely... Just because Woody was controlling him, RC car can control himself, too. I don't understand.
Well, that gets into another weird existential question. How does that work? If these toys are autonomous...
How can Woody control him?
Or how could an RC car just, like...
That's what I'm saying. He was in on it. He doesn't like Buzz either. He wanted...
It's getting deep.
Yeah.
Which this movie goes... Although it doesn't go as existential as I thought Forky was going to get, but it does. It's one of those movies where while you're watching it, you're like, oh, this is pretty. And then as you think about it more as you're done, you're like, oh, God.
I mean, one of the things that I could appreciate was the sound design.
Oh, it is very well.
The
soundy movie.
Like, one of the parts that I loved was when it was Woody and Forky on the road.
Oh, yeah.
And he was, like, dragging him along. Yeah. And it was, like, you could hear the pavement. And then
every time he says trash, you could hear it very well.
Yes.
A lot of people say that's, like, almost like interpreted as a metaphor for, like, suicide. Like, either suicide or depression. Like, I just want to wallow in my own, like, just leave me alone. Oh, let me, like,
maybe.
Sit in my darkness.
I don't know.
Like what reason do I have to exist? Just let me be in peace and just be sad and lonely.
Oh.
I didn't interpret it. I just interpret it as like not knowing your place in the world, but
The one detail that I cuz I'm a huge nerd. So I listen to a Pixar podcast.
I've heard that about you.
And one thing that they actually go to Pixar and they interview
people. Dinosaur hat or just a dinosaur hat?
Just a dinosaur hat.
Okay.
They interview people who work on the movies.
Uh-huh.
And one person gave them the hint. There's a part. So the whole thing with this movie is that Woody is trying to come to terms with himself that he maybe doesn't need to be someone's toy anymore.
Yeah, like your purpose in this world can change.
Yeah,
you don't have one purpose in this world.
So he's definitely not the leading toy anymore. That's Dolly.
Yeah.
At this point, because it's Dolly. The
the Triceratops.
No, Dolly. Did I get the name wrong? The doll.
Oh, the doll, like the little
the
ragamuffin doll.
Because she's obvious. She was Bonnie's favorite toy before.
Yeah. Well, they kind of hit. It's like her and Jesse.
Yeah, which makes sense. She's a girl.
Yeah.
And she's gonna want to play. And he was a boy. I mean, I'm not saying.
They can't play with the other ones, yeah.
But I'm saying that's more likely to happen.
Yeah.
So then Woody gets left in the closet, right?
Yeah.
And there's Bonnie's old toys in there. And I found out that the voices of those old toys were Betty White.
What?
And Mel Brooks.
Oh, he voiced Marlin.
Yeah.
I didn't know that. Oh, no. Mel Brooks is the guy who directed Young Frankenstein. I always get him and Albert Brooks
mixed up. Oh, Albert Brooks, yeah.
Albert Brooks did Marlin. Yeah. Mel Brooks is like an old comedy director. He made like Spaceballs. Blazing Saddles, Spaceballs, and Frankenstein.
But Betty White and Mel Brooks, and there was someone else too, but they're both very old Hollywood people now. Oh. They don't get used.
No.
So they had them voice the old toys. I thought that was cool.
I like that. So Forky.
Yeah.
Is Forky your friend now?
Yeah, he's definitely not my favorite toy, but he's one of them now, you know.
I like Forky. He's a good friend.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think he had much personality. I think he was really funny.
Well, he's malleable.
Yeah.
Well, his whole thing is that like he discovers that like it feels good to have a purpose in. I feel like his discovery is that it feels good to have a purpose in this world.
Yeah,
that makes you happy. Like he, when he finds out that he makes Bonnie happy, that makes him happy. Mm-hmm. And then Woody's is almost the opposite. He finds out that you don't have one set purpose in this world. Like he tells Forky, like, oh, we're made to just make children happy. But then he finds out that's not true. Mm. That can be a purpose, and he did a great job at it. But at the end, spoilers, he goes with Bo Peep.
Yeah,
which made me cry. Like seeing him and Buzz hug, I was crying. Those are my two best friends saying goodbye.
Who is the person?
Kaboom.
No, not Duke Kaboom.
He's my new best friend.
Well, yeah.
I went to Walmart that day and tried to find a Duke Kaboom toy.
who is the person who wrote Avengers, the first one?
Joss Whedon. He wrote the first Toy Story, or co-wrote it.
So he did a first draft.
On what?
On Toy Story.
Yeah.
The first one. And in his first draft, Bo Peep was originally the one who went over to Sid's house and rescued Woody and Buzz.
Oh.
So that was something that they've had
being a badass.
Yeah, and then they incorporated into this.
She is so cool.
Yeah, she is awesome in this. Their bo staff.
Oh, and her fucking sheep driving the skunk. And then a cool detail, because this actually goes to with what I said with how does RC car like get driven if he's a toy and autonomous? Someone was like,
what about that car?
Oh, no, someone, no, here's the thing. Oh, okay. Someone was like, how come the skunk remote control car can be driven if it's a toy? It's not a skunk remote control car. It's a remote control car with a fake skunk on top of it. If you pay attention. Like if you look at it, you realize it's like when they lift it up.
Yeah.
Someone put like a skunk thing on top of it.
Yeah, but if it's a remote control car, isn't it still a toy?
That does actually, yeah. Now that I think about it, well, they had a better explanation. They explained it. Because
here's what I'm thinking, right?
Oh yeah, you keep talking. I feel like
I'm thinking that it's another version of RC. It's like another RC car
that's dead inside.
They took like the autonomous parts out of it, like Bo Peep cut the wires for that.
Still listening.
So he's basically at the mercy of Bo Peep.
That's fucked up.
And then
I don't like that.
Then they murdered a skunk, and put the skunk's carcass.
You know, we'll go
over.
We'll go with
over
that.
The RC car. You know,
Bo Peep's a psychopath.
So now, but they covered his eyes, so he doesn't know where he is or what he's doing at any time.
He just knows he's being controlled. He's
controlled by
into shit.
Yeah.
All right, we'll go
with a dead animal carcass on him.
So while we're just talking about the new characters,
okay,
you got
this. So this movie,
yes,
gives me Toy Story 2 vibes.
Vibes. It's so,
yeah.
I love this movie.
Like, this movie's so good. All the camera work and everything was so good.
It feels alive.
Yes. I mean, the antique store was genius.
Oh, so good. The details all around.
There's
the cat. The cat looks great. Oh, my
God.
I thought it was a real cat at first.
Yeah, yeah.
Are they using photoreal imagery?
So, yeah, they are. I mean, because that was one of the big things is, like, they interviewed Josh Cooley on this podcast. It's called Pixar Post, if anyone wants to go, because I'm getting a lot of information from them. They do test renders to get the final look of the movie.
Yeah.
And, like, the cat and then, the carnival stuff, like the grass and everything, they're at a point now where they can just make real pictures because they're detailed.
Yeah.
So he actually had to tell all the animators to tone it down to kind of give it the sense that you're still watching an animated movie.
Yeah, I get that.
Or else it takes you out of it if you're.
Yeah, you think you're looking at something real.
Yeah. But for the antique shop, they basically have like a digital warehouse at Pixar that's filled with all of their props and everything. And for the antique shop, like, the set decorators just went through and they picked out, like,
different props.
Yeah, they picked over 10,000 props to put in the antique shop. Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah.
So there's probably a bunch of, like, little Easter eggs in there, maybe.
Oh, there's a ton. I've been reading articles and stuff.
All right, so new characters. The Key and Peele characters. I don't remember their names.
Ducky and Bunny.
They're fun.
Because that's duck and a bunny.
And that's a cool idea. They're being sold.
I love that they're stitched together.
By the hand.
That is genius.
And then it's also a cool idea what these movies do. They keep exploring different, like, versions of the toy world and what that means if toys are alive. Like, these toys, the carnival toys, and their purpose, they want to be one to be given to a kid.
Mm-hmm.
That's fun. And they're just funny.
Yeah.
It's like watching little mini Key and Peele sketches.
Yeah.
Like, when they're... Then we got Gabby,
mm-hmm.
who is, I think, Prospector Pete's great, but Gabby is probably one of the best.
She's the most great. Frightening.
And then she also has the best arc, because it's not about defeating her.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
She's like the only one that actually...
She wants something at the end.
Yeah.
It's almost like a classic, like, Star Trek episode where, like, instead of defeating the villain at the end, they work with them to, like... Like, that scene with her and Woody, where Woody gives her the voice box.
Oh, God.
It's so sad. And then, when she gets fucking thrown to the ground, like, her whole life.
Oh, yeah.
That also goes for the point, like, you put all of your coins on this one purpose. Like, this is my purpose. This is my purpose. It's almost similar to Monsters University's message.
Yeah, actually, yeah.
Where, like, they figure out, like, just because you had one dream and you can't achieve it doesn't mean you're a failure.
Yeah.
Yeah. But no, Gabby's great. And then... My boy, Duke Kaboom,
mm-hmm.
who arguably doesn't get... He gets a little bit of an arc with Francois, like his...
No, what was it? Was it?
Or what's his name?
It's
It's great. It's a great name whenever he says it.
Oh, French-Canadian.
Because he's Canadian. He's the Canuck with a lot of luck.
Yeah.
He's the number one Canadian stuntman. And it's perfect because he's like the Evel Knievel stunt bike. Oh, my God. I love Duke Kaboom so much.
Let's give a shout out to Carl Weathers.
Oh, his combat
car. Oh, my God.
That made me laugh so hard when, like, they do the high five and then the one's like, I guess I don't get a high five.
But he does.
He does it at the end. I didn't stay.
You didn't stay? No.
I never know what
Marvel... It was he high fives Duke Kaboom.
Oh, my God.
Because
Marvel has my brain all fucked up to where, like, when a movie ends now, I want to leave.
Yeah, yeah.
But I don't want to leave.
Like, So it shows the Pixar thing again, and instead of the lamp, Duke Kaboom rides up and hops on the thing,
yeah,
and then the combat Carl comes up and he high fives him.
Oh my God, It's so much better than Luxo. Well, I'm just kidding. I love Luxo, but Duke Kaboom's my boy.
Toy Story.
Yes, We Canada. Hello, his origin is that like the commercials made him look like an incredible toy, and then he got him, and he just couldn't do the jump at all.
Oh yeah,
I love it. I love Duke Kaboom.
So in I'm still trying to find this name here, but in 1995.
Mm-hmm.
Pixar had 117 like graphics computers, basically gaming computers that we have now, running 24/7 to render out the frames. And they usually took 45 minutes to 30 hours a frame.
Which is insane.
So now they still use like the best graphic computers. Boy, yeah. They have many more of them than 117.
I would imagine.
But now it takes 60 to 120 hours per frame for Toy Story 4 just because of all the
details
and everything. But they can render out the original Toy Story on computers that we have today faster than you can watch it.
Really?
Yeah.
Because it's so, the technology is so much farther.
So they can make the entire movie faster than you can watch it now.
That's insane. Now here's a thought. Here's just a quick thought experiment. Do you think we'll ever hit the day where Pixar remasters their old movies?
No.
No.
I don't think they would ever do that, just because
it's pretty time consuming.
They have a like a whole building dedicated to archives. It's basically a Pixar museum at Pixar, where they keep all the old props and clay molds and everything. Like, there's pictures online of the original Woody and Bo Peep clay heads that they make. I've seen pictures of Pete Doctor. He animated the Army Men in the original.
Oh, really?
And to get how they walk, he nailed two shoes to a wooden board and then recorded himself walking in it. And so they kept the board with the shoes. So they have like all that stuff. So I doubt they would, just for history's sake, do it.
So Duke Kaboom's boy.
I cannot find it.
I swear it's Francois.
I thought it started with an A.
Oh, maybe. I don't know. It's great, though.
Hold on. I'm just going to go straight to the Duke Kaboom wiki.
Duke Kaboom is an example of a great supporting character who doesn't bring that much to the, like, he's great. He adds another level of like, oh my, like he supports like Bo Peep's like lost toys thing, like your kid's not gonna love you forever, you have to find a purpose outside of that. But then he's also just he's a scene enhancer. When Duke Kaboom rolls in, you know, if you're in for a treat. Like the whole action scene with them like trying to save Forky and Duke Kaboom's, they're getting chased by the cat.
Oh, I love that. I love that scene.
What were you going to say? You found the kid's name?
Yeah, I did.
What is it?
Rajon.
Rajon. Oh, it's so good. He's like, this is for you, Rajon.
Yeah.
So good. So I love Duke Kaboom.
And then, there's another thing. Like all the cobwebs and dust, they've never done that before.
Oh, really?
So it would have taken them forever. Like, you know, remember that part where they're toys. So they're down really low. Remember that part where they're hiding behind like the power strip?
Yeah.
And it's all dusty.
Oh yeah, yeah. I noticed how good that looked.
So the cobwebs that like go in between stuff, it would have taken them forever to actually do that by hand, because it's just little strands.
Yeah.
So I mean, they have like computer coding wizards at Pixar too, which is like 90% of the employees, and they wrote a program that was an AI spider
that made the cobwebs for them, so
they didn't have to.
That is some future shit.
And then they could just take the cobweb and place it wherever they wanted.
That just blew my mind.
Yeah,
it is incredible.
So they wrote like an AI.
Let's just hope that AI spider doesn't
come to life.
Yeah. The only thing worse than Skynet would be Skynet as a spider.
Yeah, and then they've done like dust, because Toy Story 2 was actually the first movie to have particles.
Oh, really?
Like when Wheezy coughed, there's dust came out and it was like little particles. But in this one, it was the first one to do like cobwebs and dust balls. Like, remember on like Woody had like a dust. They're it's your first dust thing or whatever. So they always bring, they always make up something new. Too.
Yeah, they always advance the technology somehow. These movies are so, I just love Toy Story.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'd want a Toy Story 5, but because then you'd have to pick with a Toy Story 5. Are we going to follow Woody or are we going to follow Buzz and the gang? That's the thing. Yeah. And I don't like the idea of a movie without one or the other.
Yeah, that's true.
Because I don't, as much as I love Buzz, I don't think he could hold an entire movie.
Yeah.
Like, you need... Woody is... Like, when I think of Toy Story...
Well, I hope Jesse would take the...
Yeah, Jesse could be good, because Jesse's great.
Yeah.
I love how ever since Toy Story 2, whenever she gets upset, she still does the panic attack breathing, like the...
Yeah.
Like, I noticed that in 3 and 4. Did this movie make you cry?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Cry. I was surrounded by children, and I was like, I'm going to cry. I don't care.
I saw it with a bunch of adults.
Oh, big cool boy.
Well, I saw it late at night, so should we maybe talk about
Aladdin,
Will Smith?
Yeah, the reason. Well, yeah, we got to say goodbye to Will.
Yeah.
So, look, should we just let the cat out of the bag? Only one of us was able to see Aladdin, which is fine. I'm not going to say your life's any worse for not having seen Aladdin.
Before we get to that, let's check in with what he's doing here.
Oh, yeah. I forgot. We are still currently a Will Smith podcast. Will Smith has an animated movie coming out.
Okay.
So that does kind of fit in. Will Smith should be in a Pixar.
Oh, 100%. Yeah. And like, Keanu Reeves. We're in the Keanu-sance.
Oh,
but
Duke Kaboom spinoff.
That'd be a cool Disney Plus show. But Will Smith has also had quite a resurgence in the past couple of years.
Good or bad resurgence, though?
I'd say middle of the road. I mean, his name is more...
Although arguably...
His name is out there more than it was.
People seem to agree he's the best part of Aladdin.
Okay, yeah. As well. Okay, so he says... This is from his Instagram. This was 5 days ago. Aladdin just became the biggest movie of my career.
Forget Men in Black.
Yeah.
Independence Day.
Like, critically, Will? Critically?
Oh, not critically by far.
I'm honored and I'm speechless. You see what I did there? Gotta pay attention. The only thing I can say is thank you. And then he has a little voice message. We're gonna listen to that.
This is a post that I'm just humbled and honored to make right now. Today, Aladdin just passed Independence Day as the highest grossing film of my entire career. And, you know, to be in this game as long as I've been in this game, and, you know, to have my biggest movie at this point in my career, I just want to say thank you. Thank you. Shukran. Sheshe. Domo arigato. Obrigado. Grazie mille. Gracias. Kamsahamnida. Danke, danyewad, toda. I think that's Hebrew. Kamyun, makasi. Damn.
You know there's cuts because they're probably telling him off screen.
100%.
Melcy, my shadow's back there. Just thank you. Just everybody around the world. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Who I missed? All right. This is a post.
All right. It kind of reminds me.
To be fair.
Yeah.
The worldwide market is much larger than it was in 1996 when Independence Day came out.
Independence Day is still a better movie.
Oh, yes.
100%. That reminds me, have you ever seen the video of Vin Diesel recording the lines for Groot in every different language?
Oh, yeah.
He's like, yo soy Groot.
Yeah, yeah.
It's funny. Well, I mean, he's got like 3 words. So, Aladdin, do you want to ask me questions, or do you want me just to tell you how our boy is?
Well, I mean, we're going to do our normal...
What the hell are you doing?
Right. Okay, so Aladdin 2019, directed by Guy Ritchie.
Who fucking rules, by the way.
Great director.
How does
this movie stack up to...
Well, it's not as good as his other... But you can tell...
Does it still have a Guy Ritchie essence?
Flavor.
Okay.
You can tell it pops because it's... Because
The Man from U.N.C.L.E.
is great.
I love that movie.
Rock and Rolla is great. He's made a lot of movies I need to see.
Lock, Stock, and
he's the one who made Jason Statham famous.
What was that from? What movie was that?
Lock, Stock,
Two Smoking Barrels?
That's his first movie.
Oh, yeah.
His King Arthur is really fun, too.
Mm. So, Jeremy, give me one of your famous brief synopsises.
Cool. The story of Aladdin is very well known, but
yes.
It starts out, there's a...
Kid, lamp.
Well, there's a... It starts out, which I don't remember if the original Aladdin starts out, like, he's like guy on a boat's telling his kids a story, and then the story is there's a kid and a ruffian, you know, he lives in a city, Agrabah, I think.
Speaking of Guy Ritchie,
yeah,
he was primarily interested in doing the film because it was the Disney story he was closest to. It's quote,
ruffians.
My stories are really about... I don't know how he sounds. My stories are really about street hustlers. That's what I know how to do. And Aladdin is a classic street hustler who makes good.
Aladdin reminds me of old childhood pal, Fuckwit Bob.
He also took this movie because he has 5 children.
That'll make them happy. Well, you know the fucking Aladdin story. The ruffian falls in love with the princess. Jafar is like, go get this lamp for me. Gets it. Finds the genie. Genie helps him become a prince.
Choose wisely.
Jafar is like...
A kind-hearted street urchin named Aladdin embarks on a magical adventure after finding a lamp that releases a wise-cracking genie. While a power-hungry Grand Vizier vies for the same lamp that has the power to make their deepest wishes come true.
Got him.
Mm-hmm.
So, how do you want to do this? It's a...
Budget? How much do you think?
100 million, I don't know. Is that a lot?
Oh, come on. Bump it up.
160?
Bump it up.
200?
Oh, okay, all right.
175? 170?
No.
180?
Yep.
I just don't know. Disney's going all out on these remakes.
Yeah. Worldwide to date.
Has it made a billion yet?
No.
No.
But almost.
Yeah. 700?
A little bit higher.
800?
Yeah.
Okay.
810.
Which I'm shocked that...
800.
Although someone made a good point, because someone's like, it's weird that Dumbo was the one that didn't make a lot. No, Dumbo and Pete's Dragon are the two that haven't made a ton. But also... Someone made a point, like Aladdin, Beauty and the Beast, and Lion King stuff, they came out right when the Disney animated nostalgia was strongest in like the late 80s, 90s. Whereas Dumbo...
Dumbo's old.
Dumbo's really old. Yeah. Pete's Dragon, no one even fucking remembers existed. So...
I mean, it does... They do...
Like, if they do a live-action... Although, if they do a live-action remake of, like, Snow White... Not counting The White and the Huntsman. Like an actual... Yeah, yeah. I wonder how that would do.
Yeah.
I wonder, because a lot of people, everyone knows Snow White.
Mm-hmm.
But then again, everyone knows Dumbo. But I think it's more people our generation and a little above and a little below.
Well, it's the... I think there's a correlation because, I mean, that doesn't exactly mean causation. But the... You know, Aladdin was one of the 90s Renaissance movies.
So Little Mermaid.
You know, and the Beast. Which they're developing now.
Yeah.
Little Mermaid.
Rob, they keep fucking picking these boring-ass old white dudes like Rob Marshall. God damn it. Like, Guy Ritchie was a cool choice.
Yeah.
Tim Burton, I haven't seen Dumbo. That's a cool choice.
Like, but, I think, like, Dumbo, because Dumbo's old, so I don't know.
Even if you have seen Dumbo, you remember it being a sad movie about life and they get beat, so.
But, I mean, the true test is going to be this Lion King movie.
It's going to make a bunch of fucking money.
Yeah, but it just doesn't How look worrying good. Is it
that we haven't seen the animals I talk know. At all?
I know.
It's so stressful. I feel like Jon Favreau's only doing... Because I love Jon Favreau. I feel like he's mostly doing it because this will secure him as having one of the biggest blank checks of all time. If he makes Jungle Book and The Lion King back-to-back, it's almost... I don't want to say it's a cynical move on his part. He might actually enjoy doing this. But also, in the back of the head, he's got to be thinking, this is a surefire way to make sure I can just make whatever I want for years to come.
Well, I think he's already there.
Well, he's already there, but this is almost like a lock. Like, it's almost like a mic drop, like... Who's Jon Favreau? Oh, he made one of the biggest grossing movies of all fucking time.
Sure, yeah. And he started out as a cameo on Friends.
Yeah. I don't know if that's where he started.
No, I don't think that's where he started. Was he in this movie, Jon Favreau? Did you see him?
No, he wasn't in this movie.
Did you see any Lion King-like things?
No, I don't think so, unless there's some weird crossover. There are some cool actors like Billy Magnussen, who is in Game Night. He shows up in there. He's fun.
When Aladdin and the genie are first speaking in the desert... During A Whole New World, the carpet flies over the Pride Lands of the Lion King.
I guess I'm not a Disney dweeb.
So I'm assuming, for
all the 20-year-old white girls that love Disney everything, you know what I'm talking about. The girl that you went to high school with and they're they got Disney, they got the Mickey ears tattooed on their wrist and they're I love Beauty and the Beast.
So I'm assuming they were okay.
They probably saw Pride Lands and lost their minds.
We can save 2 weeks of work if we just take the set from this movie that we're working on
and just throw it in.
Throw it in here.
I will say that all the musical segments, they're competent, but the two best musical segments are both Will Smith
ones. Oh, nice.
Friend Like Me is one of the only times where I sat up. I was like, now we're fucking cooking. Mm.
Now, I couldn't speak to this, but how does the blue differ from the trailer?
The blue, it still looks wonky every now and then, but you adjust to it.
But they changed it.
Kind of. I thought it looked the same as the trailer to me.
Because they did say they changed it.
There's certain shots where he's moving around a lot. But when it's just a still shot, it's not as jarring. But they're smart and they make him into a human for a lot of the movie. Okay. He turns himself into normal Will Smith just so he can fit in.
Oh, okay. Interesting. Jim Carrey was originally the original choice for the genie.
Yeah, it could have worked, I guess. They wanted Tom Hardy for Jafar at one point.
I feel like that could work.
It could work, but it's fucking weird. There's some cool stuff. At one point, Jafar turns, what's the fucking bird's name? Lago. He was voiced by Alan Tudyk, but all he does is go Aladdin's here. I guess Alan Tudyk's good at voices, but at one point he turns him into a giant bird and they're chasing the flying carpet. That's kind of fun, I guess.
I feel we've said before that Will Smith seems like the only viable choice for the genie.
Well, he's an interesting choice.
Yeah, but
it would be boring to just pick another comedian. Although Jim Carrey could be good.
Jim Carrey's also very emotive.
Yeah.
And...
Well, Robin Williams' genie is an all-timer.
It's hard
to follow
that. Of course. And that was one of Will Smith's... He's been very vocal about...
how much he respected.
Yeah, he wants to make the character his own... but he also wants to respect the legacy.
Yeah. So you want me just to answer the
questions? Which, as a legend himself, is very respectable. Yeah.
Do you want me just to answer the questions about this movie?
Yeah.
Was Will Smith good in this movie? Yes. He is actually really good in this movie. Maybe the best part of this movie.
Okay.
Is this a good Will Smith movie? I would say it's good
because... it's his highest grossing movie ever.
Yeah, I'd say it's good because it gets him... yeah, of course. It gets him back in the big game.
Will Smith's back. Yeah.
Was a good movie for Will Smith... probably for the same reasons. Did I get jiggy with him in this movie? Yes, because the two musical sequences with him fucking rule. So, Aladdin, Will Smith's in it.
What do you give it?
I wouldn't rush out to see. I gave it 2.5 on Letterboxd.
Well, it doesn't...
it's fine. I don't know. I just don't... I keep forgetting that I saw it.
So, see Toy Story 4...
big thing for Aladdin, Will Smith did a new end credits song with DJ Khaled.
Oh!
It's a remixed version of A Friend Like Me, but it's an actual song.
Okay.
It fucking rips.
So see Toy Story 4, not Aladdin.
Yeah, please. If you're going to give Disney money, which we all do, even though all companies are evil, but who gives a shit?
Yeah.
Just give it to Toy Story 4, please.
All right, well.
So we're going to... time to officially say goodbye. I have a few closing questions for Will Smith.
Okay.
An actor we both love.
Mm-hmm.
Which movie that we discussed was your favorite?
Oh.
Men in Black for me.
Yeah. Yeah. Hands down, yeah.
What is your favorite Will Smith movie in general? That's tough.
That is tough.
I might have to go Independence Day, but Men in Black is a very close second.
Men in Black, I think, is it.
Yeah.
I think Pursuit of Happiness and Independence Day are 2 and 3. I don't have a...
you don't have a ranking.
Yeah, but they're they're up there.
All right, now to talk about his future, what kind of movie do you want to see him do? What do you think would be the best for him to do? Should he go back to being the charismatic action star, which he seems to be trying to do with Bad Boys for Life? Should he try another Pursuit of Happiness, which you could argue Collateral Beauty was?
That's true.
should he go all in on animation with Spies in Disguise, become a kids movie guy even? What do you think would be his best action? I think he should chase that perfect point in his career between Men in Black, Independence Day, and like Enemy of the State as hard as he can.
I think he's kind of in a rut right now. Like he found a personality that's a little bit different from his 90s personality. It's a little more refined,
yeah,
in terms of like in the spotlight and everything. Because like the 90s one, he was like so loose and
fun.
This one, he seems a little more polished and a little more corporate.
Yeah. Or the older man.
Yeah. So I don't know, because I feel like anything he does, like the Genie, like Gemini Man.
Gemini Man's kind of out there a bit, but
I feel like he's going to incorporate that new polished.
So you'd like to see him take risks if he could.
Yeah, I think Bad Boys. I think if he can go back to the mindset of Bad Boys,
yeah, that Bad Boys for Life is going to be a big test.
Yeah,
for him and Martin Lawrence, frankly. I mean,
yeah,
both guys who've been out of the spotlight a little bit.
Because he's Will Smith. He's the same person, but obviously he's changed. And
I think he should tour.
With DJ Jazzy Jeff
and do a tour, a worldwide tour.
Are they on speaking terms?
Yeah, they're doing some shows in Europe this summer.
Put out a new album. Yeah,
So you just want to see him try to take some risks without just.
I just want him to loosen up, be a little bit less corporate. You know.
I get what you're saying.
Because like always, you know, like because we watch the behind the scenes videos of Independence Day, Men in Black, and he's just like fun, whatever, you know.
He might even swear a little bit.
And his Instagram videos are so cut and sharp.
It's like, I love my family. I'm a family man.
Yeah. If anything, I mean, I know he's a veteran. Yeah. He's one of the top veterans that we have.
He's one of the highest grossing movie stars.
But I think he could take a couple notes from The Rock
I feel like The Rock's in the same boat as him, kind of. He's got this refined personality.
Yes, but for some.
But
Somehow The Rock still puts in that.
Well, The Rock also doesn't sleep.
Yeah, but you know, like Will Smith isn't posting pictures of his food and saying, "I fucking love giant cookies on a Sunday night." Yeah. You know what I mean? Like that's something I feel like '90s Will Smith would have done.
Yeah, he'd be like, "Yeah, look, I'd put an Oreo and a glass of Coke, and I'm gonna eat it."
You know, The Rock has some of his Instagram videos are edited professionally, but it's mostly for like trailers and
it's mostly just him, like
promo stuff.
Me and my daughter, and
yeah,
I get what you're saying.
Yeah,
so what Will Smith movie are you the most excited for? I think we both have the same answer.
Spies in Disguise.
Bad Boys for Life.
Oh, you're right. Sorry, I just watched the trailer, it's so batshit crazy.
God damn it. All right, and then before we truly say goodbye, what's your favorite Will Smith song?
I love Miami, but
I gotta go Men in Black.
Yeah. Here come the Men in Black. Yeah.
All right. And with that, we bid adieu.
So what do we got coming up here?
Well, every goodbye. Oh. Well, before we officially announce our next miniseries, which you chose.
Yeah.
Which was...
You the People.
Power of Democracy.
For July 4th, we gave the power to the people.
We did. We started a new revolution. But we will have, as far as like any special episodes, it's just Hobbs and Shaw in August.
Mm-hmm.
We will make sure that we both see Hobbs and Shaw, because that movie looks like a religious experience unlike no other. I didn't even watch, they put out a third trailer, which I've seen enough, but I just know the picture of it had Jason Statham holding a chainsaw, and I was like,
right,
what the fuck, this movie's gonna
roll. And you saw all the promo pictures
Good. They're just laying drinking tequila.
Yeah.
Fucking excited out of my mind. But we put out a poll. We told you last time who your choices were, and it was contentious for a bit. The person who won, I did not see coming. My personal pick, Mila Jovovich, had a strong lead, and at first I thought you were going to accuse me of tampering with the results. I was thinking, what's he going to think when Mila Jovovich wins? But ended up Charlize Theron.
Yeah.
Ended up on top. An actress we both like. One we've briefly discussed with Hancock. So, she's our girl.
Yeah, it's a very nice transition.
It is. But instead of saying our boy, we're going to be saying our girl.
Our girl, yeah.
6 or 7 or 8 weeks.
Yeah.
And as far as the movies go, we retained our rigid structure of her three most successful films, according to Rotten Tomatoes, which is not an indicator of quality, but it's just a useful metric for us.
Yeah.
Her three least successful films and one right in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
We only futzed it a tiny bit based on whether or not she had a big part in one movie. Mm-hmm. But as far as it goes, so that's why if some of these movies seem like it's like, I just don't want you to think that we're going to like just pick her most recognizable films. We're going through the spectrum based on critical reception.
Mm-hmm.
So we have Matt. Well, I'll go in order, I guess.
Yeah.
I should have put them in order. They're all from the 2000s, no 90s, Charlize. We have Waking Up in Reno, movie I have no idea what that movie is about.
That was
2002. We have Aeon Flux, which I think is like a weird sci-fi action movie that bombed.
Yeah, I mean, I've seen parts of it.
I was getting
like female
Ultraviolet, which has Jovovich. Then we have 2012 Snow White.
Wait, what year was
Aeon Flux? Oh, 2005.
Okay.
Snow White and the Huntsman, which is 2012.
Okay.
Which I know she plays.
So we'll take a big gap there.
Queen or something in it. Then we have 220, or we have Mad Max Fury Road, 2015, arguably like...
Oh, I can't wait for that
fucking
one.
Fucking most iconic role now. Then you have two 2016s. We have Kubo and the Two Strings and The Last Face, which I think had Javier Bardem in it. I don't remember what it was about based on what I saw. And then Tully from last year.
Mm-hmm.
So those are your movies. Charlize is our girl. And can we just tell them who's going to be next? Or should we wait?
No, I'm so
excited.
I know you are, but they gotta wait.
All right.
All right.
All right, so
this has been the Not New Movie Review. You can follow us on twitter.com/notnewmovie, patreon.com/notnewmovie.
We'll see you next time with Waking Up in Reno, and we'll begin Charlize tearing up Hollywood.
I've never been to Reno.
Neither have I. I've never been to Vegas.
You want to, well, I guess we have to go for the podcast, right?
You should record it in Vegas. You look like you're dressed like a Vegas vacation dad.